You have
been for years.
Especially before I was pastoring and whatnot. And we need an hour, you know. Now that pizza is going to have to wait. Talk about marrying. I just found out today that I've been married to the oldest woman in this whole church. My wife and I have been together for 68 years. And you know what? It just seems like 6 years.
Amen.
It does. I'm glad to put a cap on the Mother's Day here at the church. My mother's in heaven. I'm going to tell you about it a little later on in the message this morning. Let's bow for prayer for you. Father, we thank you that we have this privilege to share the gospel with you. Bring unto you our thanksgiving and praise for our mothers, for our church, for this family that we seen here today, the church full of family and friends. What a privilege to share in that. And all because of your wonderful grace and love and mercy and salvation that you've given to us. Bless each and every one. Thank you for them. Thank you for this day. Bless now as we look into the scriptures. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of messages have been preached from the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, when I, as a pastor, would win someone to the Lord or they'd come to know Jesus as Savior, I'd usually take him into the Gospel of John. But you know, there's little John in the Bible.
Amen.
First John. And it's a powerful book, and I want to share just a little bit of it with you tonight. I wish I could share all of it with you, but it is one powerful book. So open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, if you will, please, tonight. Little John here, as I call him, or 1 John to you, is like a father speaking to his children. That's kind of the theme of it here. John is a family letter from the father to his little children who are in the world. And that from which was from the beginning, verse 1 of John 1, 1 John 1. We have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of God, or the word of life. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it. I like the word him better there. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and is manifested unto you. And we're going to talk about that eternal life tonight here. Just a bit. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things written we unto you, that your joy may be full. And that doesn't mean physical joy, that means spiritual joy. And if you really boil it down, what it means is joy in fellowship with God. Joy in worship. Like the joy we had here today with the family and the, you know, the fellowship around the word. And we're going to have fellowship around some pizza a little bit. This word joy here is a special word, and it means worship unto our God and to our Father. Joy with the Father and the fellowship with Him. This then, verse 5, is a message we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from, what's that little word there? All sin. Baptism won't get it done. Works will not get it done. Church membership won't get it done. You can have all the ribbons for on your little chest for a perfect attendance. That won't get it done. It has to come down to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will cleanse us from all sin.
Amen.
That's the only way it's going to happen. And we need to teach the people that through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, they will have and can have and possess it for eternity. Eternal life. Eternal life. Someone has asked, well, how long is eternity? Just as long as God is, that's as how long eternity is going to be. If we walk in the light, he's in the light. One another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's go back to the garden. Did you know that the first blood was shed in the garden? Adam and Eve have sinned. They had needed a covering. God got some coats of skin and brought them to them. I do not believe it was the skin of some animal, like a donkey or like a cow or an alligator skin. I think it was the skin of the blood of a lamb. Now you think about that. All down through the Old Testament, it's the blood of the lamb for the cleansing of sin. Amen?
Amen.
Even in Moses' day, take the lamb, scrutinize the lamb. If he's not, is perfect, no blemishes, no spots, a perfect lamb, firstling of the flock, shed his blood, put it over the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over. God said. John the Baptist comes on the scene. He says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he's actually saying the sacrificial lamb that will go to Calvary's cross, and there he will be crucified, his blood will shed, and that blood is the cleansing of the whole world of sin.
Amen.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Verse 8, if we say that we have sinned, or we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. One of the first things it's going to take for a person to get saved is to realize that they're sinners. That they need a Savior. When we deal with them in personal evangelism, we have to deal with them to the point to where they come to the point that they will say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior.
Amen.
And then we can present the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father. What? By me. No one can be saved outside of the blood sacrifice and the death and the burial and resurrection of our Christ and our God. For God so loved, as Pastor said this morning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him cannot perish. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from, there's that little word again, all unrighteousness. That's a powerful word. All unrighteousness. Yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. And even at that, you crucify the Lord afresh if you say you have no sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. My two little children, chapter 2 says here, here's our helper now. My little children, here's the Father speaking to his children now. These things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Where is he? Seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high as our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he is making intercession for us continually. And I'll tell you what, beloved, we need it.
Amen.
We need it. He is the propitiation. This is a substitution. He is the substitution for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole wide world. This is the atoning sacrifice that will last for eternity. It'll never run out. It'll be there when somebody needs it. He is a propitiation for our sin. He is a sacrifice. Go down to verse 15 here in this same chapter. I'll cover a few more verses here for you. Love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. What is he talking about here? He's talking about loving the world more than loving God. The things of the world. I think our churches today, across the world, and especially in America, are empty because of the love of the world rather than the love of God. Beloved, think about this for just a moment. When we leave this place, enter into His presence, it's going to be church all the time. All day long.
Amen.
A fellowship of worshiping, singing, and rejoicing. And you know what? Meeting old friends. You talk about meeting folks here today we haven't seen for a while, family, whatnot. We get there, beloved, we're going to see the whole crowd.
Amen.
My wife and I were used of the Lord to put 8 churches together. 7 in Southern California and 1 in Springfield, Missouri. I was a church planner. I live missionary, home missionary. That's my work. Broken churches, we took them and put them together. We have 8 congregations. Out of that great congregation, multitudes of people were saved, and we're going to see them in heaven. One of my favorites is a young man that came here with us when we came to this church. His name was Trini Rodriguez. Trini's up there. He'd be waiting to see us. Verse 25 of this same chapter. This is the promise. This is the promise. The promise of God. That He hath promised us even eternal life. We have it. You have it right now. If you're saved and born again, a child of God, and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the eternal life.
Amen.
This is the promise. Go up to chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Thank God for that. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. In His resurrected body, nail prints in His hands, spears, scar on His side. But we'll see Him, anointed high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, welcoming us. Yet if we come in the resurrection, then we're going to mount to meet Him in the air. And we'll hold hands. Imagine a multitude holding hands as we go out into space. Like He is. Remember, He was there on the mount. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up? The same Jesus which is taken up from you shall come again, just like you have seen him go. He's coming back. We preach and we teach the Word of God because we believe that. Because there are multitudes that won't go if they don't hear and believe and receive Christ as their personal Savior. That's what church is all about. Reaching the lost, edifying the Christian saints. Go to chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, again, these little children, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Isn't that powerful? For God so loved, if you really know love, you know God. I loved my wife for 10 years. When she got saved, I loved her dearly in a different light. When I got saved, I loved her in a different way. And that love has sustained us through these years. And everyone that is loved is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. There's no other way to live. And he's talking again about life eternal. Physically, we can live without him, but spiritually, we cannot live without him, without being spiritual. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And verse 15, whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Chapter 5, verse 1, of whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Nail it right there and then. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Messiah, that's what that word means, the anointed one of God, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Go to verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's the Holy Spirit. Romans says, Abba, Abba, Father, which means my God, my Father. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There should be no doubt. There should be no fear. There should never be a hope so. Because the rest of this is going to prove that. Look at it. Verse 11. And this is the record. It's God's record. It's not the record of man. It's the record of God. It's not the record of the church. It's not the doctrines and the teachings of the church in this sense. This is the record of God that God hath given. Here's the gift. Unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now watch this. He that has the Son has the life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you. Here's the key to this whole book, I believe. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. In other words, if you'll ask him to save you, he'll hear you. If you ask him to forgive you and give you his salvation, he'll do that. Because he promised eternal life. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, verse 15, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Let me give you an illustration. I knew a lady. She became a mother at 21. She had her first little girl after she was married. And that little girl was deformed. Lived just a few hours. And God took her. A few years later, she had another daughter. Then she had a son. And then she had another daughter. And then she had another son. And then she had another daughter. And if this one, that little last little girl was born, her husband drowned in a river, in a lake. She is left with these five children. And a preacher come out from town, one of these dudes with his collar on backwards. And he said to her, "We have arranged for your children to be orphaned out, you know." My mom looked him in the face and she said, "You get out of here. I will raise these kids." And my mother raised these kids. She married her second daughter with great sickness when she was just in her 40 years of age. She lost her first baby, she lost her husband, and she lost her daughter. Mom used to sit up at the organ. We had an old pipe organ. And she'd sit up there and she'd sing the songs of Jesus. She would sing from the song book. But my mother was lost. We know this because one day my brother walked into her living room after he was saved. And he said, "Mom, you're lost." She says, "Well, I'm a good woman. I raised you kids. I took care of you. I worked hard." She did. But she never knew Jesus as her Savior. We never had a Bible in our house. We never had prayer in our house. Jesus was not a part of my life until I became 30 years of age. But he became a part of her life. She thought she was saved. She said, "I'm a good person." That's what the church taught. But she would have died and gone to hell if she hadn't believed that Jesus was Lord and her Savior. And my brother led her to the Lord. And from then on, she went to the church and she was 70 years old. She got baptized and every day she got on a bus and rode clear across town to Twin City Baptist Temple. Vic Sears was a pastor there and she loved the Lord. And when her boys come home and we were saved and come home and her preacher boys, tell you what, she was in heaven high. She loved us. She was proud. You see, some people think they're saved and they're not. How often, Pastor, have we knocked on a door and said to that person, "Do you know Jesus is your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven?" "Well, I hope so." That's the key right there. What does it say here? "These are things written to you that believe on the name of the Son, that you may know that you have eternity." Don't anyone ever walk out of a church without knowing that they're saved and born again, because they have no promise of tomorrow. This little lady sitting right over here, young little girl, walked forward in the church. She says, "I want to be on Jesus' side." So the pastor make confirmation for her. Were you baptized then? She was baptized? Sprinkled? Dip? Pour? Okay. But when I got saved, after we'd been married for 10 years, she asked me over and over and over again, she said to me, "How do you know?" Well, I hadn't been grounded in the scriptures enough to tell her. We went through college together, Springfield, Missouri. I was pastoring for a number of years. Pastored Valley Baptist Temple in Reseda, California. We went to Las Vegas to a preacher's meeting with my pastor friend Dorsey Castile. His wife and my wife were great friends together, even in high school. That night, Johnny Morgan was preaching, the evangelist, and he preached on having a check all made out to you. $1,000 check made out to you, signed and delivered, and it's in your pocket. He says, it's no good to you until you cash it. And she, that night, said, "I've had Jesus, a check from the Lord, and I've never cashed it." That night, she said to me, "I'm lost, I want to get saved." She went forward and got saved. I took her back to the church on Sunday night and baptized her. She thought she was saved. From that time on, she's never pestered me. "Well, how do you know?" Because she knows. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm finished, but I want you to ask you this question. If you died right now, do you know that you would go to heaven? If you don't, you get a hold of Brother Wetzel and tell him, "Look, I need to be saved and make sure. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. They that have the Son of God have life. They that have not the Son of God have not life." I've used this scripture 1,000 times to bring lost souls to Jesus. You can use it too. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for these great words from this little book of John. What a powerful book it is. If it was the only book you had, it would get you into heaven. We thank you for it. Bless now as we go into the fellowship, having the time of fellowship and recognition of anniversaries and birthdays. We thank you for this special day. May you bless in Jesus' wonderful and holy name. Amen. Pastor.
All right, thank you. That concludes our service. Let's go out and have some fellowship together, okay? Appreciate that good sermon from Brother Brian.